I'd like to put a sidebar. My bar mitzvah was made, and at bar mitzvahs at that time, they used to throw hard candy at you, and all my friends, they passed out candy, and they really whacked me on a bima with the hard candy. We also had a party in a temple in Irvington on Stuyvesant Avenue on the second floor, and my grandmothers were there, my great-grandmothers were there, and we had a wonderful time. And we do have 8mm movies that are in the cellar in a box of my bar mitzvah, and there's a lot of other movies of families, pictures that are down there. And I wish my family would see them maybe at some other time. And I'm still here. We could see the movies. Also, I'd like to add that when I was cutting grass for my Uncle Harry and George Sasson, I met a fellow there that we became lifelong friends. Charlie Lipton was an orphan, and his aunt was running an orphanage up in West Orange. And she took care of him and his sister, and we became lifelong friends until he passed in California, which was a very sad day for me. Also, I'd like to add that I was young, I used to go with my Uncle Gilbert on a pie truck that he had. It was Licote Toasted Pies. And we used to ride on the truck. And my Uncle Gilbert and Aunt Tommy used to take me every place they went. And I had a very, very happy childhood with my aunt and uncle. My Aunt Muriel and my Aunt Eileen, who is my mother's sisters by another father, they took me all over also. One time, my Aunt Eileen and Muriel took me to the shore, and I went out with Muriel, and she started to flirt with some soldiers who were playing horseshoes, and I walked in back of one of the soldiers as he was swinging back, and he hit me above the eye with a horseshoe, and I got a big cut, and I started to bleed. My Aunt Muriel had a fit. She said, "Oh, your mother's going to kill me." And my mother, who was my grandmother, "Oh, she's going to kill me." So we went home after I was bandaged up, and they saw me, and they had a fit. But I calmed them down, said it was an accident, that I walked in back of a soldier who was playing horseshoes, and it wasn't my Aunt Muriel's fault. My Aunt Eileen passed away at a very young age, and I was a very young person, and I took it very hard because I loved her. And for years, when I lived in Edison, she was buried in Mount Lebanon Cemetery, and I went to visit every Tuesday that I was off. I would go to visit, and I just hope that some of my relatives will go and visit my grandmother, my father, my mother, and my Aunt Muriel, Uncle Jack, and my stepfather, George, who's buried over in Mount Lebanon Cemetery after I pass. Also, my aunt and uncle, Eileen's father and mother, Doris and Al Ward, are also buried over there. And I would like to get in touch with their grandchildren to see if they would like to see where their grandparents are buried so they could visit maybe once a year and somebody will go to see them. They have two sons that have never come to visit their mother and father's grave ever since they have been buried. It saddens me that that has happened. Also, I'd like to put a sidebar in that when Bonnie and I were married in the Clinton Manor in Newark, the rabbi that bar mitzvahed me, I had called upon to marry us. Well, we were all gathered at the Clinton Manor and we were waiting for the rabbi to arrive. And as time passed, no rabbi. We called and we couldn't make contact. So a cousin of mine who was invited to the wedding, Rabbi Klein, was there, and I told him of our predicament, and he graciously said that he had a license to marry us in New Jersey. So he went ahead and married us, and the rabbi never showed up. He had gone to a party and forgot all about coming to our wedding. And for years, I always kidded my wife and told my children that we weren't really legally married because Rabbi Klein wasn't licensed to marry in New Jersey. But that was just a big joke that I used to play on Bonnie to get her goat. Also, when I had the gas station in Newark, it was a drugstore, Schuster's, across the street from the gas station. And one day, I decided that I needed something. I can't remember what I was going there for, but I walked across the street, and this young guy comes running out the door, and they were hollering, "He just robbed me, he just robbed me." So like an idiot, I chased him. And we went down to Wainwright Street and up Wainwright Street. And he tried to hop a fence. And I grabbed a hold of him. And we were wrestling. And a motorcycle policeman was coming down Wainwright Street. And he stopped. And I said, "This guy just robbed Schuster's drugstore." Well, he arrested him. And he went to Schuster's and they identified him. Lo and behold, I had to go to court. And when I was up on a stand, they were cross-examining me, and I got a little irate. And I said to his defense lawyer, and he had a public defender, "Who's on trial here, myself or him?" And the judge said, "Mr. Kaplan, if you don't answer the questions, I'll hold you in contempt of court." I said, "Okay, Your Honor." And I answered all the questions, and I was dismissed. But it wasn't a very good experience for a person that didn't do anything. But that's the way our legal system, I guess, is structured. That when you go and you testify, you could be cross-examined in that manner. So be it. I guess that's all I have for today. I will be back with some more tidbits as I remember them. And that's it for today.